Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 450.
My
I am
God.
Kurt, as always, joined by the pleasant Tony.
I'm so pleasant and thrilled.
Very pleasant.
You've been the ancient podcaster.
For 450 episodes.
Tonight. When we used to actually record the podcast in pods, like literally yes. Like pods, and we're ship pod, them to each other.
And just... We like speak a line, email it to you. You would respond, send it to Jeff. Our weird way of recording.
The Pony Express would take them from one to another.
Jeff is here.
I'm feeling feisty tonight, guys.
Feisty, huh?
I mean, opposed to any other night.
I'm usually feisty. Very mild mannered.
Jeff is very excited because we. We're able to get Movie Dudes done in almost an hour.
I was going to say, we're starting exceptionally early tonight.
I was, dude, that's practically on time for us.
I don't know, there have been nights where we didn't start until 11:30.
Earl is here.
I got nothing to add.
And damn it, Earl, then leave.
I will.
Peter is back as well. Again.
Yeah, full house.
Yeah, we've got everybody going on. I guess congratulations should be in order for ex-co-host Fozzie. He's getting married shortly.
Yeah.
In Italy? Is that
Italy?
Yeah.
In, like Naples.
Yeah, I keep seeing all these pictures on Twitter. I'm so jelly. But congrats, Fozzie.
Honeymoon in Amsterdam on a boat. Get excited about that.
That sounds fun.
Which is why they're trying to cut out tourists.
Yeah.
It is actually something they're trying to do, but cut down tourists, because I guess people are just kind of coming and destroying their natural...
Well, natural nature. What?
Their natural nature.
The natural nature?
Yes.
They're destroying the natural beauty of the red light district.
Well, I think that's the thing, is like they get that reputation. So, like, party people come and they don't necessarily care about how they even face. But yeah, that's a topic for another day. It was just in the news this week.
I can see that happening.
I mean, I'm sure it could get annoying. Imagine living in Vegas. I'm sure all that shit gets real annoying.
Well, I can't imagine living in Vegas because there's really nothing to do.
Actually, Vegas is just a nightmare.
Outside,
like, all around. Say, Vegas is the definition of a tourist city. They want you to come, destroy it, and then leave. If you stay, then it's a problem.
It's like, yes. why are you here?
Who would volunteer to live in this?
The government gets involved and they can become very concerned.
You go off the strip, it's just like a fucking wasteland. Like, it's
literally
fallout. Like,
honestly, the last time I went, I wasn't too into the strip either. I wasn't into any of it. I was like, I don't think I'm ever coming back.
Vegas? What is
I did not. You know what, dude? Walking every 2 feet and someone trying to sell you something, the prices have all just been jacked up. Way up. It's not like the idea of it back in the day was cheap. That was like part of the like allure. And here it's just like you're paying out the ass and losing money. And yeah, it's just I didn't like any of the shows I saw either. So, anyways,
I'm
derailing the fuck out of this podcast. Big disappointment.
Well, I was going to just segue us directly into news because, you know, Earl had mentioned news, but I don't even know. But yeah, the state of play happened.
Or the second state of play.
Second state of play, yeah. Did anybody watch it?
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 7 minutes.
Yeah. It was very long. It was very, very short. But I don't know. I heard people say it was bad. I did not watch the first one. I heard people say it was better than the first one. Like,
is it a huge bar to cross? We talked about the first one. This one, I think, wins for having actual, I don't want to say actual games, but it has games that people are interested in. Let's go with that.
Sure.
And I think anything that ends with a big franchise is always going to get people interested. I mean, Final Fantasy VII remake for, you know, being with the third trailer. We've got a game that was announced 5 years ago.
But this one had gameplay. Yeah. Actual gameplay.
Yeah.
It's not the first one to have gameplay, though.
Oh, really?
Nah. They've done, there were videos out there of the very first boss battle with Cloud and Barrett. like in the active time battle system. Those have been out there for a while.
So am I correct in, like, I mean, just based off of the trailer that I saw today, because I don't think I saw the game previously. It looks a little Kingdom Hearts-ish.
I mean, it's Nomura, so...
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't make sense, but it looks like you're controlling them and like picking moves off of like a kind of like a like, oh, if you press square, you'll do this. You press.
I think it's more closer to Final Fantasy 15.
So,
it looked a ton like Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, where you'll be able to cycle, but even with more control. Like, I think in Final Fantasy 15, you were always controlling Noctis and you never really moved any of the other characters around. This looks like you can shift from like Cloud to Tifa to Barret and like give them each commands and stuff like that, and you know, pause the game and set things up. And
all right, well, that could work, like, I guess.
Yeah,
It looks like visually, it just looks stunning. Like,
oh no, it looked like a really good game. So that's, I mean, again, they've been working on Peg 5 years now.
Well, this version, I don't know, right? They kind of took everything that the Don Hack people were doing and burned it to the ground. So.
Well, from what we know, as far as like when it was first revealed, I think the thing that was worrying, and again, I'm not a huge Final Fantasy fan, so this is secondhand information, is everybody saying that everything they showed was from like the first half an hour of the game?
Not the first half hour of the game, but I think the first area, all from the first. Like, you know. I mean, and if the rumors that this game is being split into three sections is true, then it makes sense that this is all they're showing.
Yeah, I would assume that you get up to maybe the gun. So, like, you get out of Midgar, you do, like, that first kind of area, but you get up to, like, that I'm trying to think of, like, there's, like, a big gun in, like, the first disc.
Yeah, my feeling is that they can't get you to the world map, right, until disc two. Or episode two. Because, I mean, you do, well, but, I mean, I'm talking about, like, Then your content is limited, right? Like, why would you, if you're dividing the game into three sections, right? And the first section is just like you let you go to the world map, and then none of it is accessible until episode two or whatever, right? So I figure, I mean, there's a good chunk of the game that happens in Midgar, anyways, before they even wind up leaving the city. So
I feel you're out of Midgar in like the first 4 hours or so.
Maybe they do Midgar in the church, because I mean, I wonder if like, or because when does Aerith die? I can't remember like how far into the game that is.
Oh, so like the gun is before Aerith dies. Like, it's a, like, you meet up with Cid and like that. That's where kind of like that happens. So you get out to the farm, you kind of go around the edge, and there's that big giant gun thing.
Yeah.
And then from there, like, the game kind of opens up, and then you end up going back to Cloud's hometown, and that's where you find Sephiroth. And
right, Niflheim.
That's all after. So I'm thinking, like, you don't even meet Sephiroth in this game.
I mean, he's in the trailer.
Okay, so.
So but, I don't know. Like, that's the thing. Like, I feel like if you're going to divide this game up, you cut the story off in the various dramatic end points in the story, right? So, like, right after Aerith's death feels like the perfect moment to be, like, an intermission. Like,
I was going to say, though, and this is an interesting problem because it's a remake. It's an odd game to do episodic because people kind of know the big points.
Yeah.
So it's right. Like, it's not a cliffhanger if everybody kind of knows what happens after the fact.
No, but I think just from a pacing point, it's just like a good...
It feels like a good cutoff.
No, right. I get that, but I mean, like, from, like, usually you do that in TV and books and stuff because it draws the audience into wanting to see what comes next. If everybody knows what comes next, you don't necessarily have that hook.
No, but I feel like
I feel
like with Final Fantasy, the opposite actually helps them in this case because, like, now everybody wants to just continue playing the story, right? If they're dividing it up, I feel like it's because of money. They can't afford the time or the budget it would take to remake the whole game into one disc and then still only sell that one disc for $60. So they're probably going to wind up selling three $40 discs or something like that.
But I was going to say that also begs the other question. What would be the timetable for this?
First episode on PS4, second episode on both consoles, and then third episode on PS5.
But like how far are you guys think they're going to space them? I don't think they'll even be that far.
Well, I think Earl, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, for me, I think what Earl might have been suggesting, and where I might think, is that, like, oh shit, they're going to get this one out, and it's going to be like 3 years before we get episode two.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if the whole point of breaking it up is that they can't finish it all at once,
it's more monetary, dude. I think it's just they realize they can do that. And yeah, it gives them some breathing room, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right.
Because, I mean, ultimately, let's say it's a monetary thing and they sell you. Because if they sell it to you, they're going to have to sell a complete package. So if the assumption is, oh, I can just wait a year and get the full thing for $60, why not just wait a year and get the full thing for $60? You're not going to finish the game any
soon. You're not going to be able to get the full thing for $60. But I bet you there's going to be like a $200 like complete edition that like buys it, and then like if the game comes out over 15 years, you're still guaranteed a copy or something like that.
I think
it's all sort of like weird speculation too, because in a month we'll probably know what's going on.
That's kind of where I don't think it's a monetary thing, though. It's like, I mean, monetary in the fact that they can't do it all up front, but more monetary where Jeff was like, they want to sell us these three things, and they'll do them one after the other, like. Because if that were the case, yeah, I'm just going to wait till 2021, and it's all done.
Yeah, but I feel like that section who would do that is not who they're marketing towards. Like, they're marketing towards all the people who, for the past 10 years, have almost like bulldozed the Square.
Oh, for sure. Like, that wouldn't be to me, but that might be to Earl, who isn't a big Final Fantasy fan, right? Like,
they're not worried about him either, right?
I'm going to be there.
then who are they worried about?
They're worried about people like me, who played the game in the 90s, who are really excited for the remake and always wanted the remake. And now they get to market it to me three times instead of once.
Right? But you see,
then
you're not growing an audience. Yeah, I mean, no offense. Then you're just making suckers. You're just milking suckers. You're creating whales. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like you have to create it. We have Telltale as an example. They've said it time and time again. Their games, people, like, the drop-off rate falls from episode to episode to episode. People finish episode one, don't come back for two. Finish two, don't come back for three. So it's going to be the same thing. You're not selling 10 million copies of Final Fantasy VII Part 1, Final Fantasy VII Part 2, Final Fantasy VII Part 3.
No.
I feel like Square Enix doesn't make a ton of great decisions in this kind of area, though.
I was thinking about like their phone games and shit, like how expensive they are, and like. But yeah. It wasn't one of their first ones like outrageously expensive. It was like
$20, yeah.
For like not even like a real fun game, right?
It was priced compared to the Steam version of the same game.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can still go on and get like Final Fantasy like 9 or whatever on your phone. It's like $17.
I'm not thinking of like a real Final Fantasy game. It was like before they released that. It was like, it was called Final Fantasy. It was just some bullshit that like you could buy characters or something.
Is
like,
that the Keeper of the Realm or the? It's not the Iberian one, right?
There's a bunch of them that you can buy characters for, Jeff. But
yeah,
do you know what I'm thinking of, Chris? Or am I just like a crazy old man over there?
There was one, and it was a.
Like, I specifically remember you being mad about it when it first came out. Like, this is, like, years ago now.
Yes, I know. I remember the incident that you're talking about.
I can't remember the game. I mean, some bullshit game. Not, like...
Oh, so, that might be ATB. All the Bravest, which was just, like...
Yeah, game.
Where it was, like, oh, you pay $7 and you can get Cloud. It's like...
Yes, yeah, yeah.
No, that was nonsense. Like, that was... total bullshit, but yes, they do have a history of playing to the whales, and I don't know. It seems to work for them, but
right. Like I feel like with their Japanese games, they can't really like they're so impenetrable to anybody who didn't grow up with them. At this point, like they try, but I can't imagine Final Fantasy 15 really appeal to anybody who's never played a Final Fantasy game before.
I thought it was okay. I played through it. It was my first one that I played through, and I played all the way through.
It's more approachable, I think, than some of the other ones, just because it's more action oriented. And it'll be interesting to see how Seven's.
Isn't it also the best selling one in the franchise? Or am I mistaken on that regard?
It's the most well regarded in the franchise.
Game of the year.
I mean, yeah, everybody has a different version of what they consider to be the best Final Fantasy, and it basically depends on when you grew up and in what era. Some people will say six. Some people will say seven. Some people will say nine.
There's crazy people that say eight.
Or 13. That's me. Really dumb people.
I've never met anybody who would say 13.
I've met people who said 13.
Final Fantasy 15 is not the
No, it's not the best selling one. I checked that real quick. But yeah, I'm happy that this game is still alive, and I'm happy that we actually have a roadmap. We'll be seeing more about this game next month. So I don't know if Sony's doing a state of play for E3, or does Square Enix have a press conference?
Square Enix has a press conference, and it's during Sony's slot.
Oh, okay.
Yes, there's that, but then also Sony said that they are having a Days of Play event in June, which I imagine is going to be like their EA Play thing, right? Where it's going to happen during E3, and it's when they do their E3 like thing that isn't
E3.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Square specifically also said that they're going to be showing more in June, and they have a press conference Monday at 9 o'clock.
Brave of them.
Because they have one last year too, didn't they?
Yeah, and it was garbage.
Yes, it was.
So that's what I'm like. What else do they have in the works? I guess we could probably see that Avengers game.
There was
I would love to see that. Please show that to me.
Well, they have the Avengers game. They have Guardians. Were they working on that too?
There was a Guardians game as well. Yeah, Babylon's Fall. Platinum is making for Square Enix.
And weren't they having like Crystal Dynamics develop that?
Crystal Dynamics is doing the Avengers game. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, let's see that. Where is it?
I don't know. It's been 2.5 years.
It's crazy.
Deus Ex and Tomb Raider on hiatus.
Yep. Possible that they bring out Yoko Taro for something. It's been a couple of years since
Neo. Oh, I guess they'll have Dragon Quest. They have an S.
Yeah.
Sure.
Maybe we see some concept art for Final Fantasy 16.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah. I don't think so, though. I think they're not going to touch that until 7's out. Now that Kingdom Hearts is out, they get 7 out, and then they finally start making like new games. After Final Fantasy VII completes the trifecta of games that have been in development for the past 25 years, right? It was 15, yeah. And then it was Kingdom Hearts 3, and then it was this fucking remake, and then after that it will all finally be free to actually make new video games instead of working on the same ones for the past 10 years.
Final Fantasy VII.
Just as a quick aside for Final Fantasy VII, we got a new trailer for Medieval, which comes out in October.
Yeah. That game looks like, you want to talk about a game that looks like trash. That trailer, I don't know, maybe it was my internet, or maybe it was how Twitch did it, but it looked framey as all hell.
Isn't that an old game? Am I like
well,
crazy?
It's a sequel.
The Medieval was a PS1 game, yeah. This is a remake of that.
I thought it was a remake of
the... Oh, it's a remake, okay. I thought it was...
I was confused by that.
It's in the same, Crash Bandicoot Spyro vein.
I don't know.
You think it looked bad?
I thought it looked like sluggish and hitchy. But that also could have been my internet, I guess. Everything else played fine, but that trailer looked like garbage to me.
Does that game have anything to do with like the Maximo and Ghosts and Goblins shit? Or am I like also
No,
it's not connected. Yeah, it's Capcom anyways, yeah.
Medieval, which evidently is just called Medieval, not Medieval or whatever. It's just a Sony game.
Yeah.
And then they showed they're doing a Predator game.
Yeah.
I was weird. So mad.
It's an online multiplayer.
It basically looks like Friday the 13th, but
it's the Predator. I think it's them making it.
Yeah, so when the Sony Interactive label comes up, I'm like, all right, this is going to be cool. And then it's like a licensed game.
Spider-Man was fantastic.
Well, but that has Insomniac behind it. This feels this like, I don't know, Spider-Man. Man. Alien and Predator games, man.
This is going to, dude. I think it's the people. Isn't it the people that made Friday the 13th? I'm being serious.
Let me see.
While he looks that up, it is. I mean, I feel like asymmetrical multiplayer is something that they really want to take off, but I feel like it's not taken off in the same way people want it to. I think back to Evolve and how hyped that was.
Jeff is right, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, good for them at least because they got fucked over Illphonic.
I just recognize that name because I'm actually a fan of Friday the 13th. I think it's...
No, I know, but I mean, it wasn't their fault that they got shit on because of, like, the legal issues that game... or that that being, property went into and stuff. Like, their game like almost had to shut the whole studio down.
Their game had major technical issues. I just want to point out though, like when it came out, it was broken for months.
Absolutely, they, for sure.
They fixed some of it, and then they couldn't fix anymore because they
supported the hell out of it.
They can't touch it.
I'm still disappointed they never got the Grendel in there.
Well, and that's the thing. Like they were very clearly passionate about that game, and then to have like the license ripped from them due to arbitration and stuff like that is kind of shitty. And that game's dead now. Like they can't go back to it. Like when everything finishes, it's like either they start over or you know it goes on to somebody else. I guess
it is funny though. That is such a weird lawsuit because somebody can use the Friday the 13th name, but they can't use Jason. Somebody can use Jason, but they can't use the Friday the 13th name. So
what is that other game that's like that?
Dead by Daylight.
Dead by Daylight. Yeah.
Yeah.
That game's also cool as shit.
That game has like a Halloween download for it.
Yeah, it has Halloween. It has a Nightmare on Elm Street. It has Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
So they have just about everybody except
for Fred. I mean, Jason. Yeah,
I have not just played that though.
I actually just played it for the first time this week because I had it because it was a PlayStation Plus title ages ago. And yeah, like those games are fun. They're kind of rough, but they have a charm to them.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. If people are like Predator's really good, I'll try it.
I will say this much. I have Predator. I have Predators. But between this and Iron Man, like I feel like Sony announces these big IP games and we're just like, oh,
it's these things.
This? Like, oh man, an Iron Man game. VR, I'm like, oh. And I'm like, oh, Predator. Like, I feel like Predator more is like the license is just so, like, I know we just had a movie last year, but I feel like the license is just so out of date now.
Yeah. I don't know. I ascribe to the idea that the best way to make a Predator game is to not tell anybody it's a Predator game until he just like shows up and fucks you up, and, like they did in that Wildlands DLC, but they just didn't even tell anybody that he was coming, and they let
people Predator. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, awesome. Like that was the cool shit, and then all of a sudden he's just there, and then they were like, yeah, they like announced it like the day after people started like posting videos and stuff.
That's cool.
Side note, the new Predator movie is trash and I loved it.
That both of those things track.
I don't remember there being anything else big in State
of Play. A couple of indie games and then the Monster Hunter expansion.
Oh, right. They started with the Monster Hunter expansion, right?
Yeah. Frozen Wilds or whatever they called it. Iceborne, I think. Yeah.
Looks good, I guess.
I'm sure if you're a Monster Hunter fan, you were losing your goddamn mind, but that trailer made it was just like a bunch of monsters and zero information otherwise.
Yeah.
I was half paying attention, and I was looking at Twitter while I watched it. I thought it was for fucking Horizon. I was like, oh, yeah.
Some bullshit. Me too.
And then at the end, I was like, wait, it's like an expansion? Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a, I don't know if it's disc-based or not, but it's like a, it's a big expansion, like a whole new region and stuff like that.
That's cool, but yeah, it's like I'm so far removed from playing that game now. It's like I don't know if I want to like. I guess it's a commitment, and you know you have to reacquaint yourself if it's been a while. You know what I mean?
Because it plays so differently than everything else.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you have to like learn how to play again.
You have to like figure out again how to hook up with your friends because it's so ass backwards.
Like, go. I have.
Like, oh, we have to like first create a room and you somehow go to a board and find the room and. Yeah, it's like it's an old code, and you have to make sure you watch the cutscene before fucking you can play with each other. Like,
oh my god,
like, oh,
but it's so good.
Right, make sure you play the 10 missions prior so that we can join up and do those ones.
But once we all got together, that game is fucking awesome.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't see myself
until you finish the mission, and then you have to break up again. So,
and you're running around a town, can't see each other.
Yeah,
except on the very top floor.
All right. I see here it says Ghost Recon event as well, Earl.
Oh yes, Ghost Recon something or another was announced today.
Breakout, I think.
I write this stuff down. It doesn't mean I care about it.
Breakpoint.
But yeah, it's like a four. I mean, it's Ghost Recon. It's four player. open world game. I assume it's Ubisoft. I'm just going to assume it's open world.
Did it look like Wildlands again, just a different region?
There's a trailer. I mean, it's a sequel. It looks like it's in a jungle instead of a desert.
Okay.
It says Breakpoint catches up with the wild team stranded on a fictional Pacific island. You'll be contending with a rogue ghost played by John Berthenol, who was introduced to Wildlands last week. So I guess there was some DLC that like is setting up the sequel in Wildlands.
Nice.
New features include a class system. Although you can swap between classes to really loot in the open world, light survival elements, and prone camo, like the ability to slather yourself in mud to avoid detection.
I do that every night.
Yeah.
No one can find me.
But yeah, otherwise it's the usual like 4-player co-op stuff.
Alright.
I am surprised that they didn't wait for E3, but it also says that the name was leaked alongside a special edition version of the game yesterday. So maybe they felt
pushed. No, this was announced. Like they announced that this announcement was going to happen last week.
Oh, okay.
And so it was always scheduled. Like, I mean, it makes sense people do that so you can kind of get ahead of the E3 curve. I mean, that's kind of what Sony did today with State of Play. And then you can kind of like, oh, and then for like full game play, because like Call of Duty is going to be refilled next week or the week after.
Always during the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, it's always during the NBA playoffs. And then like the full gameplay stuff is at E3. So it's kind of like the teaser to the trailer, I guess.
I wonder what they'll have at their E3 conference then.
I would imagine the Division DLC. They still have that Pirates game, right?
Yeah, Skull and Bones. That still looks dope.
We still, I guess, an update on Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Maybe Watch Dogs 3. Right? Maybe. They're not doing an Assassin's Creed this year. So.
That doesn't. They could announce like a, but they have Assassin's Creed 3 remake to pimp out, or is that out? Or is that out already?
I have that downloaded, and
I also don't know if that's the Assassin's Creed game Ubisoft wants to push right now.
I mean, they could do another remaster this year. Maybe something South Park related. Who knows?
I wonder where that goes now. Does Ubisoft still own the South Park license, or did they simply pick up the unfinished game and then the license just like went back to whoever owned it in the first place? I guess I don't know.
THQ, was it?
Well, that's who had it. But I mean, no, but I mean, like, does Ubisoft now have the ability to make more?
I mean, that's a whole.
Yeah, that's a deep question.
Yeah, that's above our pay grade.
maybe we'll get a new Mario and Rabbids.
I mean, that's possible.
That'd be cool.
I imagine they'll have something in the Nintendo related between the Star Fox stuff and Mario and Rabbids. It does seem like that's one of their big tricks, is having some type of Nintendo either exclusive content or tie-in.
Yeah, man, they got to bring Miyamoto out once a year now, right?
So. Red Steel 3.
I'm all for it. I'm all for Red Steel 2 remastered. Just as a quick aside, since we're on Nintendo, and this isn't in the notes, Nintendo announced the first DLC for Tetris 99.
I just saw that.
DLC for
it? Yes, yeah. DLC for a free version. Game. Yeah. It basically gives you offline, so you can play normal Tetris, and then you can play Tetris 99 against 98 computers. So it's a good way to practice.
I also saw a Game Boy skin, so it looks like Game Boy.
Yes, they announced the Maximus Cup, which we kind of explained before. It's like, you know, it's just a weekend event. And this one, you get points based off where you finish. And if you get 100 points over the weekend, you unlock the Game Boy skin for this game.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you get 100 points?
Well, if you win, you get 100 points. Oh. If you come in second, you get 50 points. If you come in, like, I think third, it's like 40, and then like 5 to 10 is like 30, 10 to 20, and then it just goes down. Essentially, as long as you come in the top 50th, you get a point, And then anything above 50, you get nothing.
I normally end in like the top 15 or so. So
yeah, handful of games will be a
couple games. Yeah,
I will be playing 100 some odd games.
It's, well, I mean, the good news is like if you really are getting kicked out and like the first 10 or 15 people, like it's over real quick. Not long matches, really. So all right. So there's a John Wick game coming out.
Yes, which, I mean, you hear John Wick, you see the movies. What is the first thing that comes to mind?
Dogs.
Strategy RPG.
Action. Like, I would think action game.
I would think action game too, but that's not what they thought.
I think like turn-based, you know, strategy RPG, clearly.
That is exactly what you think when you see John Wick is a strategy game. Because it's one guy versus a bunch of people. But yes, it's a strategy game.
Oh, wow.
For PC and Mac that is made by the guy who did Thomas Was Alone. So it's a very odd mashup of ideas here.
Yeah. Like,
none of this makes sense on paper.
No.
Not just paper, in other places too.
Anywhere.
So it smells like, is it going to be like XCOM kind of? Or like, what the fuck are we talking about here?
Well, it's the style itself kind of reminds me of Killer 7 as far as like the graphics go. But no, I don't think it's like
you said like real time. I can't even
fathom what this kind of game would look like.
So it's interesting looking.
like it's not what you think of when you think of John Wick.
Like, I think of like a Max Payne type game.
Max Payne is a perfect example of what I think a John Wick game would be.
Weird.
Or even something maybe not as over the top, but like Vanquish. But not a strategy RPG. That is nothing that came to mind. Written by the dude who did Thomas Was Alone.
Who wouldn't exactly think John Wick for him, but cool. I will wait on reviews.
I think I might just get it out of sheer curiosity. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's somebody. You be the guinea pig, girl. and then if you give it a thumbs up, Tony might bite on it.
Sure. Why not?
You like strategy games.
I love strategy games.
Yeah, about John Wick.
Devil May Cry 1 on the Switch?
Yes, that was the same reaction too. Like, it was like, oh, we're announcing Devil May Cry. I'm like, just the one? You already have an HD trilogy already. Just dump that there.
Two HD trilogies, like at least one on the PS3 and Xbox 360, and then they remastered that, and it's available on PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah, but apparently they're just going to sell the one game to you for some odd reason.
That's really weird.
yes, very much so.
Digital only release, or?
I don't know. Like, I honestly saw it was the first one. Oh, you're the first one. I just lost interest. I'm like, you can really, well, most weeks you can get the HD trilogy on PS4 for like $15.
Yeah. It's always on sale, too.
Yeah.
Get it cheaper than that. All right. So. Capcom. That's different. Let's see. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Yeah.
New characters.
They announced Ms. Marvel. Nice. Not to be confused with Ms. Marvel from Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Because Captain Marvel's also in this, so you have both Marvels now.
Yes.
Two Marvels. Twice the Marvel. So much
twice
Marvel.
The Marvel.
I like Ms. Marvel. She's
all the Marvels.
Yes. Well, no, they don't have Mar-Vell.
That's true. I mean, he's dead, though, isn't he? We don't care anymore.
I mean, did anybody ever care about Mar-Vell?
I just wanted to say all the Marvels.
But yes, they also announced Hawkeye, so whatever. It's not even a good
What's
Hawkeye.
What's wrong with Hawkeye? All right. I do like Kate more than...
Yeah, let's say it. It's not Fractions Hawkeye, so, I mean,
right.
What's the point?
He's not Green Arrow.
But he's not Green Arrow.
He is. He's too poor to be Green Arrow. It's his problem. Yeah. If Hawkeye had money, we could talk, but no.
He's got a family, damn it. But yes. So yes, this is the Game Informer story of the month. So we got the new characters. We know it's coming out in July. Hands-on impressions. There's going to be some, you know, more than 20 characters. I think we have a good idea of mostly everybody who's in the game at this point. Some new villains, I think. They said Ronan Accuser's in this. We know Thanos and the Black Order.
Mm-hmm. They're like the main villains.
Yeah. You know, it has a lot of the old elements of the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games. So based off of the teams you pick, you can pick a team of like Defenders. You can pick like Marvel Females, and like those teams will give you stat boosts in the game if you play them together. There's also combo moves. There's, you know, it's an RPG game, so there's different stats and gear you can equip to your characters to enhance their abilities and their skills, yada yada yada. I mean, I just put it here because I wanted this game. I'm a huge fan of since X-Men Legends. Can't wait for this to come out. Oh yeah, and the other thing, I think, and this is just a more interesting backstory, I guess, is that I guess Marvel approached Nintendo with the idea that Nintendo could pick any franchise or property they wanted to make a game out of. And they ended up on Marvel Ultimate Alliance. And then Nintendo approached Koei Tecmo, I guess because they had just worked on Hyrule Warriors and Fire Emblem Warriors together to make the game for them. So this is, as far as Game Informer says, this will be a completely 110% Nintendo exclusive title.
Huh. Interesting.
Very fascinating, actually.
It's, because, yeah, I think, and maybe it's something that we don't hear often, but I think being able to approach Nintendo with this stuff is much, much more recent, because it's kind of the same story as Mario and Rabbids, and even the Starlink stuff, where it's like Nintendo's being more willing to play with Western companies now.
Yeah. And it's working out for them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you, not that Starlink lit the world on fire, but like if you want the best version of it, it's
I did light the world on fire. But like honestly speaking, you ask most people, I think they would say Starlink is a Switch game and forget that it's on PS4 and Xbox One.
Right.
I mean, it was almost marketed that way. Like,
yeah. To be fair, I think if you ask most people, they forget Starlink exists. But you know, also here and there.
But Star Fox fans know where it is because it's the best Star Fox game that's come out in like 5 years.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about it, and I didn't get it yet. But there was also free DLC that just dropped last week.
More Star Fox characters, right?
More Star Fox. There's actually more game too, but yeah, Star Fox content, and you could play as all the characters instead of just Fox now.
Yeah, so that's cool. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Fuck yeah, I think we all are.
Oh yeah, I'm excited. The game's going to be fun.
I hope there's more than 20 characters, though.
Well, they said way more than 20. Okay. So I'm assuming it's probably going to be
somewhere between 20 and 30, then.
I assume it's going to be more than 30. But
then
it's probably going to be like not characters. Nintendo can be very special with things. Like the example I always use is the fact that no reviewer was allowed to mention that Sonic was in Super Smash Bros. Brawl, even though they announced the character way in advance. It's one of those really stupid hang-ups they still have.
Yeah. Maybe Bowser can get them out of that. Yeah. All right. Well, That was news. What do you got plan? Or we got more news?
No, we talked about this last week, didn't we? About them remodeling the Sonic character for the movie, right?
Well, I don't think they had announced that quite just yet. Or maybe we did. Maybe they had announced it.
I forget. I just want to forget that movie until I'm drunk watching it.
Be interested. We'll talk about it more when they release a new trailer for it. and then we can talk about how horrifying it really is. So what have you guys been playing? Anything?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't play games anymore.
No. Well, like I mentioned, I think last week, the Power Rangers Battle for the Grid game actually got an update to actually include a story mode now. So that's good. So it has a story mode now, and it's voiced with cutscenes and stuff. It's really weird because they clearly got some of the actors for the roles, and then other people are just randoms. And it's a weird mishmash of like, oh, that's Tommy, and that's like totally not Jason. And I mean, I guess that it's something you do, but it's such a weird thing because some of these voices are so familiar and then other ones are just foreign to you. It also kind of shows the imitation of the roster because there's like three bad characters in the game. And I make halfway through and I fought some of them maybe half a dozen times already.
That's a lot.
Yeah, because I mean, honestly, because how it's broken up is the main bad guy is an evil alternate version of Tommy. There's an evil alternate version of the Pink Ranger, and then like their hench, and then there's Goldar, and then the Grunt is like an evil alternate version of Jack Ranger. So like almost every encounter starts off with you fighting the evil version of the Jack Ranger, and like. They did that a few times, and then they gave him a skin. And I'm like, it's still the same character that you're fighting with a different skin. And it's like, yeah, I fought him a lot. And then what they'll do sometimes to mix it up is then you'll be the bad guy fighting the good guys. But I'm like, still the same character. But yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's given me an excuse to play more than 5 minutes of this game. It's given, you know, like any good fighting game story mode, forces you to pay out the different characters. So you kind of become adaptable and learning, the different abilities and skills and different control methods for these characters. And I also do like that they do mix it up a bit. Like some of it's one on one. You can get two on two. Sometimes you'll have like, you know, you'll have three on one or like one. They'll give you match and knife bar. So it's not like you are handicapped in any way, but you do get that, you know, like, oh, I can't tag out this game, so I just have to learn how to struggle properly with this character and stuff like that. But, you know, as fun as it is, as much and I'm happy that it's free, and the game's still like $20, but it just feels like it's very light in almost every category you can think of. Like, the cutscenes are kind of voiced, but it's like really... It's like stilled animation where it's like a screenshot that's being moved or the camera's panning in on it. And then like the characters have like dialogue when they enter, but it's like one line everybody recorded. So it's always like, it's morphin' time or back to battle. And it's like every single time the game starts, I'm like, it kind of gets old really fast when again, you're fighting the same characters constantly.
A bit repetitive.
Yeah.
So it's the same dialogue and the same fights over and over again.
Yes, but they mix it up a bit because you might be the Pink Ranger, you might be the Yellow Ranger, you might be the... And they do control differently, they do have different abilities, different specials, so that's good. But yeah, I feel like it's one of those games where it might have benefited a bit more from just kind of doing a deep dive into... Because, I mean, it's not like Power Rangers is short on characters or environments. You have a franchise that's been going on for 26 years now.
Wow. So,
yes, and I mean, in that 26 years, I think all but like 1 year has had a new show on. So yeah,
you should have some other villains and stuff to pull from.
Yeah. And I get it that, you know, a lot of people are kind of familiar with the Mighty Morphin ones. And there are some, you know, there's a handful of characters from different eras. But the fact is that you have all this wide swath of characters from, you know, the future, from space, aliens, humans. You got teenagers. You got dogs that become Power Rangers. There's a ton of characters you can pull from. And it's weird that you wouldn't... Again, I get that it's a budget thing, but it's like... Especially with the enemies. You don't even give me, like, putties to fight or something like that. It's just so annoying to fight the same characters repeatedly.
Well, this sounds like a winner of a game.
This sounds like a game that Earl can play and I will listen to him talk about. Thank you, Earl.
Anytime.
You played more Division 2 as well?
I did, but before that, I did mention in passing that I played Dead by Daylight for the first time this week, and yeah, it's a game that I was playing with a friend, so I jumped right in, and it's a bit of a learning curve, but it has some nice elements. It's an asymmetrical multiplayer game, so there's four survivors and one courier. The killers vary. I've only seen three of them so far, but, you know, other ones exist. There's I forget what they call him, but the guy from essentially the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But they don't call him that.
They don't call him
what? But they don't call him. So I forget what they call him. It's like the Chainsaw Killer or something like that. So he has a chainsaw, if the name doesn't give it away. And with the chainsaw, like, he can kind of knock you out in one hit if he, like, lines it up properly. And then, like, what happens is once you get knocked down, but you don't automatically get killed, the killer can leave you there to bleed out, or they can take you to their home base and hang you on a hook. And with the hook, you kind of you're damaged and you're losing health, and then your teammates can rescue at any point. But like the killer can also just kind of hang around and wait for them to rescue you, and then kill them as well. So the killer wins obviously when either all four people are incapacitated. Their heroes win there are five or six generators on this stage. You work together to activate those generators, and it takes a long time to get some of those going. And once you do that, an exit opens up. You can either leave through the exit, or a hatch will open up, and you can go through a hatch. So either way works. And we, I'm going to use this in quote, won our first round. It wasn't me, but somebody survived. It's a fun game. A lot of it is, you know, you don't really have any offensive abilities as a survivor, so it's kind of like sneaking around and trying to do stuff while you can, distracting the courier so other people can get away, making sure your teammates are in good, are healthy and can help you survive, working together. Like you power up the generators fast if you work together as a team instead of doing it on your own. You can sometimes find stuff in the environment, like health kits or something to help, you know, repair the generators faster. So there is a bit of scavenging going on. Then you get points based off of, like, oh, if you were, you know, like if you were served at a distraction, if you got away from the killer, if you hid well, and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a fun little game to play with friends and, you know, some a pick up and pay title. I don't know if I would have bought it if it wasn't free on PlayStation Plus, but I have it, so might as well.
Yeah. Any more to say on the Division 2?
I will say that after playing Anthem, I'm much more appreciative of Division 2. So there's that. I will say, and I think I've mentioned this before, I forget, is I do enjoy the Division 2, but I really find the structure so confusing and strange and baffling how they do progress. I've been playing with friends, and we played through their games, But that doesn't, that's, that progress doesn't translate to, like, my character leveled up and stuff like that, but the progress doesn't translate over. So, like, I had to go, so we went back to my game because I had a bunch of missions to complete, but it was stuff that we had already done as a group. And then we finished, like, all the missions in my game yesterday, and then it's like, the first mission was never finished in my game. And what had happened was I finished the mission in my friend's game, and I turned in the mission, but it never counted as my game. So it's just really confusing because you don't, like, I actually don't know the proper order of how this game works. There's main missions, but, like, as far as, like, if you from A to B to C to D, none of that makes sense at all. And even after finishing the game, I'm only, like, level 25, so I'm not even ready for, like, the end game content yet. So we have to go around and figure out some of that stuff as well. But I do, you know, the weapons are nice. It's nice that you have a clan, you work together on certain missions, and that, you know, again, it's great to kind of give bonuses for working together or playing together in these kind of big multiplayer huge shooters. I will say, and it, again, it's a grounded game. The cosmetic stuff is so dumb because it's like everybody looks the same.
Yeah. That was one of my problems with the first game. Like, everybody's wearing, like, a parka, and everybody kind of has the same setup, and it's very hard to distinguish.
Yeah. Like, this, like, even when you change it, it's like, oh, you have a slightly darker color shirt than I do. I'm like, right. I wouldn't notice that if you didn't point it out, so.
Yeah, the customization will be more customization would be something that would be cool for that series, but I also think they're trying to go for a realistic look. So it's like, how much can they allow you to be dressing up in, like, Elton John?
I see. I get that. But I do think there's a part where you can kind of have fun with it because it is kind of still this post-apocalyptic DC. So maybe not, like, over the top, but, like, maybe you can dress in rags, or maybe you have, like, you know, like, maybe you can steal gear from some of the enemies or something like that. Maybe I want to wear a tank top.
Yeah. Oh, well. I played more Days Gone, quite a bit more, actually. Like 3 hours in. I just recently opened up the second area.
How long is this?
I don't know. Forever.
Average is 60, they said, right?
Wow.
That's what I'm hearing is 60. I think I'm I did kind of, like, cheat and look up a walkthrough. And it looks like I am on the final quest strand. Like, there's lots of side stuff, and some of this stuff, like, is, like, time delay, so it'll force me to do some other side stuff as well, but I am on, like, the last big quest strand before the game ends. But I just started it too, so I don't know. I am enjoying it. There are things about it that are very weird, but I have come to kind of like the main character. He's an idiot, but
yeah, idiot. Wait, that's wrong.
He's, like, a nice, like, you know, he's that...
He's a nice idiot.
Yeah, he's that prototypical, like, moron dirtbag with a heart of gold. Like, there was a interesting twist that ultimately I saw coming, like, a little bit out of the ways, but it was interesting how they handled it, and wasn't expecting that, like, they'd hit some decent story beats in the game, but they do. And I don't know. It's fun. I am enjoying it. The stealth works real well. I'm not a huge fan of stealth in games, but you kind of have to do it here, because otherwise you'll bring all of the zombie creatures down on you. And when they do, like, when they all kind of get swarmed up and attack you in a giant horde, they rip you apart real quick. Evidently, you can defeat a horde. I don't know how the fuck you do that, but my weapons are not good enough. having a handgun and an M14 is not going to take on like hundreds of zombies, but yeah, it's there's some interesting locations. The weather effects are pretty good. I did find myself like fast traveling a lot. Like I would load, like, all right, yep, that's all. That next location is all the way across the map. I'm going to travel to the closest camp there instead of driving, like spending the 10 minutes to drive all the way across the map, because riding the bike isn't necessarily the most fun. But it's, I don't know, it's probably, the sevens are probably deserved. I said this last week, but I think it's probably better than some of the criticism it was getting. And it doesn't seem nearly as buggy as what some people were getting, you know, pre-release and like first day. So, it's something. It's one of those games. It's an open world. It's a modern day open world game.
Yeah,
with lots of shit. So if you still enjoy that type of stuff, this is okay. Jeff, you were playing Stardew.
Yeah. I mean, this is an old game. I remember, I think we all kind of bought it when it came out. What, it was like 2 years ago or whatever?
Yeah, Peter bought it first.
Yeah, like you got it on PC. And I remember like looking forward to it on Xbox. And I think when it released on the Xbox, it kind of got lost in the shuffle of like the holiday releases.
Yeah.
It's like anytime I've tried to like get into Stardew Valley, I would play through like the spring and be like, what the hell is this? And then just give up. For whatever reason, like I decided to buy it on the Switch. It's not that expensive, you know, it's like $14 or whatever. So I was like, I'll give it a shot again. Gives me an excuse to like give it a serious like shot again. And that combined, you know, like, and now I can like play it while watching TV and all that fun stuff. But like that combined with honestly just watching like a tip video, like it was like one of those videos that was like, here's 10 things I wish I knew before I started playing Stardew Valley. I watched that and I was like, oh, okay. Like it like kind of pointed me in the right direction, you know? And I got into it. Like the game is really good. I'm here to report. Pete was totally right. Everyone else, you know, everyone else that plays it loves it. And now I'm one of them. I'm like super into it. Like it's so funny because like I've probably bought like probably almost like 15 games in the last month. Like I've bought a shitload of games lately, and the only thing I've been playing for like the last probably 2.5 weeks is Stardew Valley. Like I just really, I mean, I do, you know, take a break here and there with like I'll do a race in dangerous driving or some bullshit, but mostly just I've been like pretty committed to my little farming life there.
Nice,
yeah, farming life.
Yeah, so Chris, you like never like clicked with you, did it? I remember.
Yeah, I made it about 10 hours in or so. Like, it did. It hit at the wrong time on the Xbox. Like, it came out, I think it was in the fall, so it was like right amongst everything else. And it was tough. Like, it's one I want to get back to, but.
Yeah, I'd say give it another shot, but. Yeah, it's really cool on the Switch, you know, having like that option to play off TV. So yeah, like just where I am right now, I think I'm at near the end of my first year. I'm like near the end of winter right now, and I've finished the mines, which is I think there was like 120 levels.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was fun, but I was like, there actually is more stuff to do after that. Like you get this prize for beating them, and it's like, what do you do with this? And I looked it up and spoiled it for myself, and yeah, there's more stuff to do. But that's, you know, that's just one, you know, avenue in the game. Like, you know, obviously there's your farm, there's relationships, all sorts of weird events that go on. There's more to it. Like, it definitely scratched that like Animal Crossing 2 itch that I've been having. Like I've been wanting Nintendo to like show more on that game and give a release date. And this is like a game like that with actually way more going on than Animal Crossing. So yeah, I'm like really digging it this time. And I don't know what quote unquote beating it is, but I don't know if getting to the end of those Mayans counts as something, but I plan to keep playing it until at least the next big game comes out that I'm excited about, which I don't even know what that is.
Bloodstained in June.
Ooh. Castlevania in like a week also, but
yeah. Oh, really? Is that...
Yeah, it's real soon, the Castlevania collection.
For some reason, yeah. I thought that was later, but nice.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Peter, you been playing anything?
Nah.
No?
What are video games?
Tony, you haven't been playing anything either?
No, not really, no.
No? You didn't get to touch any more Imperator?
I will. I want to put in enough that I can give Jeff the serious analysis. I know he expects. Yes. So, yeah.
Next week, I believe Rage 2 comes out. Anybody looking at that?
Oh, yeah, I kind of am.
Great. Jeff can buy a 13th game. Yeah.
all right, well, maybe we'll hear some on Rage.
Are you not getting it?
I am going to get it, but I want to finish Days Gone first. And evidently, I have like 30 more hours of that, so I'll get Rage at the end of the month, I guess, or early June. And by then,
maybe I will wait. Yeah, maybe I'll wait for June, and it'll be $40.
That's great. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, if you get that game at launch, and you're costing yourself money.
And June, I'm just always complaining about how there's not enough summer games. So there you go. That adds one more to it.
June and July are loaded.
Like, yeah, it's a pretty packed
this
summer.
This year's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good this year.
Especially since Nintendo's like, we're going to release all of our games this year in July because the first 6 were for nothing.
Sick. What else is in July for Nintendo? I know Marvel.
And then Fire Emblem Three Houses. And then I feel like there was something else announced recently. I don't think it's them. I think it's a third party. But yeah, like Saints Row the Third is out this week, I think, for them.
Okay. June has Crash Team Racing, Bloodstained, and Super Mario Maker 2. So,
hey, sorry.
Okay.
Is anyone getting Sonic Racing?
When is that?
That's
it's like soon. It's like real soon, dude.
I think that's June too.
I thought it was this month.
I thought it was.
Oh wait, it's in 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's some stuff like I don't know. Is anyone gonna get that though?
Nobody knew it was coming out in like 2 weeks.
It's not full price. I know that, and like I always liked the Sonic Racing games. They're always good.
I like the last two.
I like the Sega racing games because of all the Sega history, Sonic.
This is kind of like stupid that they limited it like that. Like, yeah, I don't know why.
It's not like, I mean, it's not Sonic All-Stars, right? It's just Sonic.
Stupid, but I'm sure it'll like play good. I hope, hopefully, right?
Sure. Why not? And if it's all the other Sonic games.
You know, I was going to say, if you believe in Sega to make a good Sonic game, that's on you.
The racing games, guys.
And just like the Sonic games, they couldn't leave a good thing alone, and they had to go to whatever this is now.
Peter, are you getting Crash Team?
I want to.
Yeah, I figured that would be one that is up your alley.
And I guess also in kind of like E3's in like 3 weeks, and it's insane to think of in that way. We're gonna have a ton of like, and it's out right now announcements at E3 as well.
Be fun. And Tony's coming to visit me in 3 weeks.
That's right.
So,
are you folks gonna watch E3 together?
Tony, I don't think so. We'll drink in the evening, but I don't think we're going to have time to
bro it up.
That's right.
I will be watching E3 live from Europe because I planned my vacation so well.
Wow, you're going to be
you going to Europe?
Yes, I partially planned it around E3 just because of how work worked out this year. Because Sony didn't have a press conference, I'm like, I won't have to stay up until like 3 a.m. to watch. Like, everything else is at decent hours. Actually, it works out better because like Nintendo is at like 6 p.m., which is like, oh, I can eat dinner and watch his press conference and then go out afterwards.
Yeah.
And I think Microsoft is around the same time. It's like Sony, which was like, which would be like 3 a.m. I'm like, yeah, that's that. I would stay home for that.
That's the Square conference, which you probably don't need to watch live.
Yeah. Oh, yes. The other game that's coming out in July is Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow, this summer is packed.
It's pretty good, dude. But yeah, usually it's Dead Zone, you know.
Oh, that was the Switch game we were thinking of. Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered Edition is coming out July as well.
That's a good game.
Yeah, that's worth playing.
All right, well, we will be back next week with stuff.
And things.
And things.
And healthy impression of the Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, we could talk to Detective Pikachu. I'm going to try and see it as well. So, anybody else going to see Detective Pikachu?
Hell yeah.
Me.
All right.
I'll see it on Blu-ray.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like on the fence.
Not even 4K?
I mean, maybe 4K. We'll see. I normally pop for the 4Ks these days.
Ultra HD. Although they're getting even in price now.
Yeah, I was so mad. I went to Best Buy yesterday, and the Aquaman 4K was $20. I'm like, I bought it at $30 because I didn't think 4K came down in prices.
We're finally getting there.
Yes. Though, as a quick aside, even though I know we're wrapping up, I did fill in one of the gaps that I mentioned last week. I saw Rampage this week.
Yes.
It's actually a really kind of enjoyable. It's dumb, but it's enjoyable. I have no idea what it has to do with the video game.
Nothing.
But The Rock talking to a giant gorilla. I mean, The Rock has charisma for days.
George, right? George.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They have so much fun together. Again, really dumb, and it's like a really bad Godzilla movie, but I had fun with it. So
I like how all over the place Jeffrey Dean Morgan is too. Like,
yeah, I honestly thought he was a bad guy. It's just him being kind of cheesy.
Yeah. Yeah, that movie is not great, but it's fun. So all right, well, we will be back next week with Detective Pikachu impressions. Spoiler free, because Tony won't watch it until he buys Blu-ray in 4 months.
That sounds like Tony's fault, though. Not like,
I feel like in the first week I should still be like spoiler protected.
It came out this week that the official spoiler policy of the internet is
by the time that next podcast comes out, a week has passed, my friend.
The official policy is the Monday after the second weekend, according to Marvel.
There we go.
So next weekend you'll still be all right. Next time we record, we're talking about Detective Pikachu the week after, though.
Yeah. I'll just mute the podcast or something.
All spoilers. All right, we will be back next week with stuff and things and detectives that are Pokemon. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.